Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Hello, this is Pastor Vince. I'm going to welcome you back to lesson number two of Foundations of Faith. This week, we'll be talking about repentance from dead works, and this will be part one on repentance from dead works. So the objectives of this particular chapter are as follows. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to define repentance from dead works. You're going to be able to explain the origin of sin. And you're going to be able to recognize the different names used for sin in the Bible. The key verse for this chapter is Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, Hebrews 6:1-3 lists principles of the doctrine of Christ on which a believer is to build his spiritual life. These principles are called the foundations of the Christian faith, and they are the basic doctrines on which the Christian faith rests. The first of these principles is called the repentance from dead works. Now, the basic meaning of the word repentance is a change in mind which results in the change in outward actions. So not only is it changing your mind, but changing what you do. Some people associate repentance with emotions like shedding tears, feeling sorry for wrong actions and thoughts. Repentance is not really an emotion. It's a decision. Emotion sometimes accompanies true repentance, but it's possible for a person to feel great emotion and to shed many tears and yet never truly repent. So basically, they're sorry for what they did, but they're only sorry because they got caught. They haven't changed their actions as a result of it. Changing of actions denotes true repentance. Other people associate repentance with meeting special religious requirements. This is sometimes called doing penance. Now, it's possible to fulfill many such religious requirements and yet never repent in the true biblical sense. True repentance, according to the word, is a change of mind that results in a change in outward actions. Outward change is the act of turning away from sin towards God and righteousness. This turning away shows the inward change of the mind has occurred. To summarize, biblical repentance is an inner change of mind resulting in an outward turning away from sin to move towards God and to towards righteousness. Here's some examples of ineffective repentance. There's some passages in the Bible where the word repent is used in a different way. For example, the first one was with Judas. In Matthew 27:3-4, Judas Iscariot realized Jesus had been condemned to death, and he repented of his part in betraying Christ. In Matthew 27:3-4, he says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he had condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.'" The Greek word here is not the same word which means change. It's the word which many people often misinterpret as true repentance. In many languages, there are words which have more than one meaning, and this is true in the languages in which the Bible was written. There's more than one meaning to the word repent in the Bible. The word used in this passage about Judas means emotion, sorrow, and anguish. Judas experienced sorrow over what he had done, but he did not experience true biblical repentance because he did not make a decision which resulted in change in his actions. He continued in sin, and in the end, he ended up hanging himself. So he did not truly repent, even though he felt sorry for what he did. He really didn't have what we would call true biblical repentance in place in his life. Another story is that in the Old Testament is Esau. Esau is another man who was given this tragic error. Esau sinned by selling his God-given birthright for a bowl of soup. The Bible records in Hebrews 12:17, "You know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." So Esau exchanged his birthright for a bowl of soup. In doing so, he rejected all the blessings and promises of God associated with the birthright. So later, Esau regretted what he had done. He cried aloud. He shed bitter tears. But strong emotion is not proof of repentance. Esau did not truly repent. He was just sorry that he lost his birthright and wished he could have it back. His repentance was not acceptable because there's a difference between regret and true repentance. So sometimes people, you know, they feel bad and sorry because they're caught. People that are in prison, for instance, they feel a lot of emotions because they were caught, but they're not truly sorry for what they've done. And so that's the case here. Now we're going to talk about dead works. If we're to truly understand the meaning of repentance, we must understand what it is from which we are to repent. And we need to understand dead works. Dead works are the actions of life lived apart from God. These works may be wrong deeds or acts of self-righteousness. These are called sin in the Bible. The basic thing that causes sin is selfishness. It is the love of self as opposed to the love of God. This love of self results in man doing going his own way. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way." Now Jesus died for the sins of men in order that, according to 2 Corinthians 5:15, that they should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Now, when you repent from these dead works of selfishness, it means you acknowledge the existence of the one true God, and you realize you're a sinner. You ask forgiveness of your sin, and you accept God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you a little bit about the origin of sin. Evil existed before man was created. Sin was originated by Lucifer, also known as Satan. The Bible records that Lucifer was a special angel who was originally created perfect by God. And Lucifer sinned when he tried to stage a rebellion against God. Because of this sin, Lucifer was cast out of heaven to earth. In Isaiah 14:12-14, it says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God." So we can see here that he was selfish and full of himself, and that's where his sin was found. So on earth, Lucifer, who became known as Satan, continued his rebellion against God. When God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, Satan led them to sin against God. This rebellion is sometimes called the fall of man, meaning that man fell from righteousness into sin. You can read about this in Genesis chapters 2 and 3. God warned Adam and Eve that the penalties of sin would include physical and spiritual death. Spiritual death was the loss of their relationship with God, and physical death was death of their actual physical body. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, death came on all men. All so-called Christian works will be tested by God. The structure of your spiritual life will be examined to determine if it's built on the proper foundation. The only foundation of spiritual life which will stand is that which is built on Jesus Christ, which we went over in chapter number 1. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Because of the fall of the first man and woman, sin passed on all mankind. That means everyone born inherits the basic nature of sin. And just as the physical traits are inherited, the spiritual trait of basic sin nature is inherited. Each person has sinned and faces the penalties of physical and spiritual death. Satan is responsible for all evil in the world. His rebellion towards God still continues as he tempts man to sin. There's a constant battle in the spirit world for the hearts and minds and souls of men. And each person has inherited the basic sin nature. Each person sins individually when he's drawn by this sinful nature to rebel against God. James 1:14-15 says, "Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." So all have sinned, but God has provided a way to escape the penalties of sin through repentance from dead works and accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You can be saved from the penalties of sin. Now, there's various different names for sin, and I'm going to go through some of the different ones here so you'll have an understanding of that. So the Bible uses different names for sin. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The actual meaning of the word sin is to miss the mark and to be in error. It's like shooting a weapon or shooting an arrow and missing the target, and it's falling short of what it should be and God's perfect plan for you. So it's just like that. When you're shooting at a target with a bow and arrow and you miss the mark, when we're not doing exactly living our lives the way that God wants them to be, which would be straight ahead to the bullseye, or off to the left or the right, we've missed the mark. And that's what sin is. Another word is evil. Mark 7:21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts." Evil means bad, worthless, corrupt, wicked, and morally sinful. Wickedness means to have an evil mindset to do mischief. It is a mental disregard for righteousness, justice, truth, and virtue. Matthew 13:49 says, "So shall it be at the end of the world that the angels should come forth and sever the wicked from the just." Transgression means breaking the law. It's like a man stepping across a line over which he has no right to step, invading forbidden territory and crossing the boundary between right and wrong. Galatians 3:19 says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression." And righteousness. This word means injustice, wrong, iniquity, falsehood, deceitfulness. 1 John 5:17 says, "All unrighteousness is sin." Ungodliness. Ungodliness means dishonesty, wickedness, and total disregard of God. It is treating God as if he did not exist. Ungodliness is not the same as atheism, which believes there is no God. Ungodliness is knowing there is a God, but totally ignoring him and his laws. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." Iniquity. Iniquity means to be lawless, either without the law or violating the law. Matthew 7:23 says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Disobedience. Disobedience is the opposite of obedience. It means to ignore God and his law. Romans 5:19 says, "By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Trespass. Trespass means to leave the right path and cross the boundary from right into wrong. It is like being on another man's property where you do not belong. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened that were dead in trespasses and sins." So what we've gone over now is just an introduction. This chapter is only an introduction to the subject of repentance from dead works. You learn the definition of repentance, the names and definitions of sin, and the origin of sin. In the next chapter, we can continue the discussion of the first principle of the Christian faith, which is repentance from dead works. So go ahead and complete your chapter self-test in your workbook. The answers are at the end of the workbook, and then go on to chapter 2. The next chapter will be repentance from dead works, and I look forward to being back with you again for chapter 3.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.